Morning, Rabbi Isai. So day two of our introduction to Tu Bishvat, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and say as follows, that what is the speciality of the day of Tu Bishvat? So we said yesterday that Chazal were koivea, that's the period, that's the day when last year's koyach in the trees has finished, and this year's koyach in the trees, it's been already rejuvenated from the waters of the rains in the winter. And this year, from now onwards, is this year's growth of the tree, if you like. And this year's produce of Peiros. What's the practical point? Or what's the practical nafkamin? The nafkamin is as follows. Chazal were koyvea, that the posuk says in what's called posuk, we all know very well, aser to aser, es kol tu asarecho, that you have to take various tithes, various things that we take off from any tavua, from anything that grows, hayotzei sodeh, which grows in the field, shono shono. So Chazal darshan, the Sifri has brought down the Torah to Mimo, and Chazal learned that the halacha, that because it says hayotzei sodeh, shono shono, therefore you have to take maisa, trumas, masras, whatever you have to separate, each year from the tavua of that year. I can't use this year's tvur to pay back the maaser that I owe for last year's, and I can't keep back some of this year's maaser or some of this year's tvur in order to pay next year's maaser. In other words, if my if my field produces 100 tons of produce in this particular year, then I've got to take maaser on that 100 tons, not from last year's and not from next year's. I can't make it up. It's got to go year by year. There's the practical, well, there's the drosha, which is shona shona, and in practical terms, it makes sense. Why? Because what does one deduct from every tavua that grows? The farmer deducts truma, which is a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. Min haTorah, it's only one grain. Chito achas pateres sakri. And then he deducts maaser rishon, which is 10% of what's left. And then he deducts maaser sheni. But that varies. In years of the seven-year cycle of Shemitah, years one and two is Masa Sheni. But year three becomes Masa Oni. Yeah? Therefore, if I've got to separate, I have to split between year two and year three, because the year two produce has produced for me a certain amount of Masa Sheni, which I can take to Yerushalayim and I can eat. Year three is now Masa Oni. That's a different cheshbon. And therefore, I need a cut-off date. Chazal v'koveya, that as far as ilonos are concerned, only as far as peiros ho'ilon are concerned, that the tax year finishes, right? The year finishes on Tu Bishvat. It finishes on Yudalad Bishvat, and the new year starts on Tu Bishvat, which means that everything that grows up to the 14th of Shvat is last year's produce. And I have to take Maisa, Trumas, Amastras, etc. from last year's produce, from whatever grew last year, up to Tu Bishvat. From Tu Bishvat onwards, that's next year's Cheshbon, and I will have to take Trumas, Amastras next year from the new produce. Another change which occurs at Tu Bishvat is the question of Orlo and Netaravai, which means that when you plant a new tree, and it starts to produce fruit. The first 3 years, the fruit is orlo, you're not allowed to eat it. Right? Now, we don't count from the day that you planted it, and then we count 354 days, or 365 days, or 12 months, and that's the end of year one. There are years, in the same way that the Gemara learns Rosh Hashanah and Lochim and all sorts of other things, right, that year one is the year in which you planted the tree. And year one finishes on Yud Dalet Bishvat. Yud Dalet Bishvat. So if you planted a tree on Yud Gimel Bishvat, on the 13th of Shvat, you planted a new sapling, a new tree or a seed, I don't know exactly how you plant trees, but if you plant a tree on the 13th of Shvat, then on Tu Bishvat is already the beginning of year two. You planted it in year one, which means up to Tu Bishvat, and from Tu Bishvat onwards is already year two, and then year three, and in the fourth year is Netar Avai, and the fifth year you're allowed to eat it, but it goes from Tu Bishvat to Tu Bishvat. That's the end of the tax year for Trumas, for Masras, for Netar Avai, for Orlo. Those are the halachas as far as Peiros HaIlon are concerned. How much of the Peiros has to have grown by the 14th of Nisan, by the 14th of Shvat is tomorrow's subject.
Start the Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Gimel Shvat, 21st of January, Rabbi Avigdor Soberski, Shlita, Korban Pesach. This week's Torah has been sponsored by the mitzvah of Meshulam David Hakenbrach Nerioh, whose mitzvah was last Shabbos. He wrote in Shizko Harov, Uz Keno Rav Nachas, Mimin Mechol Yetzeich Alatzehem, Rei Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben, Rabbi Shem Rechol, Tzvi Itzkevitzich, Rav Noli Brocho.
Good morning. To speak about the subject of Korban Pesach, it's well known that the first Korban Pesach, as we all know, was brought in Mitzrayim. That's where the mitzvah of Korban Pesach was given, and that's where all the halachas of Korban Pesach are learned out of, from Pesach and Mitzrayim. It's also well known that the Korban Pesach was a regular Korban. It was bought legavaya. It was bought as a with all the dinah krova, with zrika, with haktoras emurin. It's a regular korban. It's got a dinah of shlomim, like any other korban. However, there is a question the Gemara discusses, but there's more to it than that. And the question is the Pesach in Mitzrayim. What about the Pesach in Mitzrayim? The first one, was that bought on the mizbeach? Did it have the usual halachas of korbanos applied to it? We don't really know of an actual mizbeach that was in Mitzrayim, right? It certainly wasn't one. However, was that Dine Korban applied to the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? Now, there is a Gemara in Pesachim, which we're going to get into very soon. Just very briefly, the Gemara in Pesachim that Tzadi Vav says about this subject, the Gemara says there were Gimel Mizbechos Hoy B'Mitzrayim, there were three Mizbechos in Mitzrayim. Shtayim Al Mezuzos, the Echad Al Mashkef, two on the doorposts and one on the top.
The lint.
The Gemara refers to those as mizbechos. So, reading the Gemara Kipshutoi, the Gemara is telling us the idea of putting the dam on the three parts of the doorway, of the doorpost, was an idea represents a mizbeach. Now, this is a subject of question, exactly how to learn the Gemara, which we're going to get to soon. Before we get into the Gemara properly, I wanted to bring out a point from Eponim Yofus. Eponim Yofus, which Hafla wrote, on the Pasuk in Va'era, the Pasuk says, Perches Pasuk of Beis, Vayimim Moshe, he was responding to Paroi, and saying, Lo nochin lasis kain, it's not correct for us to shecht the korban here in Mitzrayim. Hey, Nizbach is Tavis Mitzrayim, we're gonna slaughter the abomination of Mitzrayim over here, lay name to the eyes of the Mitzrayim, Velo Yiskelunu, are they not gonna stone us? We can't, it's dangerous to do it over here. The Panami office asks two questions, two big questions. I should read them out briefly. He says, Yesh lefarish, loshen lo nochon. What is this interesting word, lo nochon? It isn't correct. But lo omar, he'd rather have said, lo nuchal lasis kain. Surely Moshe's point to Pari was, we can't do it over here, it's dangerous, we're going to be killed if we slaughter the Korban Pesach over here. What's this? It's not correct. Number two, he asks, which sort of ties into the first question, and it sort of half answers it already, as we'll see. He brings a targum. Targum on the side translates the lo yiskelunu as halo yemrun lemurgamona. Will they not say, will they not plan and want to stone us? He says, what's this interesting lashon of targum? He says, pshat the targum is, Moshe knew the Jews weren't going to get killed for doing the rotzon Hashem. It was never actually going to happen. His point was, they're going to try and kill us, and they're going to want to kill us, and they're going to say that we want to kill you. So he asks, well, why is that important? What they want to do, what they say, the only thing that's really important in this conversation is what's actually going to happen. That's what he asks. So, the number one yesod that he puts down to answer this, to begin to answer this, is number one, it's well known that Toev Mitzrayim, what does it mean it's the abomination of Mitzrayim? It was the God of Mitzrayim. This was their Avodah Zarah. So Rashi in Chulin says that, Rashbam al Torah says that, others say it. It was an abomination because they used to serve it as Avodah Zarah, and therefore, that was Moshe's point. If we're going to shecht it, they're going to want to kill us because it's Avodah Zarah. Now, before we go further in the Panim Yofus, it's important to introduce a few important points in the idea of Avodah Zarah and halachos of Avodah Zarah. But there are klal, anything that serves the Shem Avodah Zarah Anything served is also to the whole world. It's also by Nod, also by Chila, to Hedya, to Hector, to everyone. There is, however, an exception, which is a Gemara in Chulin Daf Mem, and that is that by Baal Chai, actually starts in the Gemara in Temura, that by Baal Chai, where a behemoth, by a live animal, if it was served, it's only also Legavoya, which means it's only also to be bought as a korban. However, for a Hedyot to use it would not be a problem. Gemara learns it out somewhere. Special exception to this rule. It means even though it was served as Avodah Zarah, unless in certain circumstances it would be different, but generally, even if it's served as Avodah Zarah, it will not become Nesa, but it will become Nesa Legavoya. For Gavoya, we don't want to have anything to do with Avodah Zarah, which means you can't bring it as a korban. Another important point is that there's a halacha of bittul. Gemara in Avodah Zarah and in many other places speaks about the idea you can be mevatel an Avodah Zarah, which means if you do certain actions to it, you break it, or you do certain pu'ulas to it, so you can take away the shame Avodah Zarah from it, and now it's no longer osa. One of the ways the Mishnah speaks about is if somebody sells their Avodah Zarah to somebody else. So there's machlokes chachamim, and I can't remember one of the other tanoim, that whether that works as a form of bittul or not. Is the fact that you sell it away from yourself, you're the one serving avodah zarah, and you sell it to someone else. Oh, so the Gemara speaks about. So the ma'aseh of the chacham say it's not a bittul, and the tana, whoever the other tana was, says it is a bittul. The Gemara says that when it's a goy to a yid, even the chacham would agree that it's a bittul, because the goy who serves avodah zarah is selling it to the yid who doesn't serve Avodah Zarah. So when he's giving it over to somebody who doesn't serve Avodah Zarah, it stops the name, the shame Avodah Zarah. Another very important point, which is going to be Nogea a bit later mainly, is even after Bittul, which means even after you, for our all intents and purposes, for our what we need Bittul for, if you sell it, even after selling it, whether there's a halacha that's been bottled, the shame Avodah Zarah, you still can't bring it as a korban. For a korban, it's most. It's disgusting. Something that was once served as Avodah Zarah, regardless of whether you halakhically you managed to remove its shame of Avodah Zarah, at the end of the day, it was once served as Avodah Zarah, and it's a davar most, and it cannot be bought legavoya. With that in mind, says the Panim Yofus, I can answer all the two questions that I asked. Just to recap, the two questions were, why does it say lo nochon, it's not correct for us to slaughter the Pesach and the Sham? Why doesn't it say we are not able to? And the other question he asked was, what's this interesting targum that says they're going to say they want to kill us if we shech their Avodah Zarah, they're going to plan to kill us? What's the meaning of that? So he says the following. He says, really, the Yidden had a problem shechting the Korban Pesach Mitzrayim, because all these Korbanos were the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. And the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim is Nevad, it's been served for Avodah Zarah, it's also to be used. It's a Baal Chai, so it's not Osa Lehedya, but it's also to be used as a korban. So they had a problem on their hands. So really, what were they relying on, said the Panim Yofus? The fact that they're going to buy it, or they were going to be purchasing it, or receiving it as a present, whatever it was, from the Mitzrayim. And through that, there was going to be a bittul. Now, he puts in a very important point here. We know that the reason why bittul helps is because it's going from somebody who serves Avodah Zarah to a Yid who doesn't serve Avodah Zarah. However, it's well known that, unfortunately, the Yid and the Mitzrayim were over the Avodah Zarah as well. So he says, very geschmack, he says, before Moshe told them to purchase the Korban Pesach, he says, Mishchu v'kuchu lachem tzoyin. Chazal say, Mishchu yideichem Avodah Zarah. He said, first do tshuva, stop serving Avodah Zarah, then you become clean. Now, v'kuchu lachem tzoyin. Then purchase the animals. And now there's a halacha that it's been sold from a goy to a yid who does not serve Avodah Zarah, there will be a bittul.
But you said it's the loss of the Gavoya.
Oh, we're getting to that. So he says 2 points. He says, first of all, there's going to be a bittul through this. And second of all, there's another svara that he brings from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chav Beis Amud Beis says, till now we've been speaking about where you know something was served at Avodah Zarah, and you're able to mevatel it. What happens if you don't know if something was served, but your choshesh was served? The Gemara there says, a svara. If a goy, generally, unless you know otherwise, when a goy sells something to a yid, you can assume, al pi Torah, you can assume for sure he did not serve it. Because if he serves Avodah Zarah, his machshavah is his Avodah Zarah, he wouldn't be selling it to a yid who's going to be using it only for holy purposes. He doesn't want to sort of be mavatal the his avodah zarah and what he's been using it for. That's what the Gemara there says. So he says you can use either svara over here. In fact, this Panim Yofes is in three places. It'll be an important point soon. He says either when they sold it to the Yidden, it was a bittel, or we have this svara stamada. We don't know which ones they served. They didn't serve every single animal they ever owned. We don't know which ones were served. So we could say a svara that the ones that they sold to the Yidden were obviously the ones that they never served. Those are the two svaras. So the Chasam Sofer in Shuvos in Yerideas and Reish Lamed Hay brings somebody, I don't know who it is, a Gaon who asked on this Panim Yofes, Posh de Kasha, that Rabbi Yanki asked. He said, I don't understand. What is Bittel going to help me for the purpose of what we need these animals for? We need these animals not for Hedyot, we need them as a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is Legavoya. Bittel, one of the options of the Panim Yofes is to say that there was a Bittel. Well, what's Bittel going to help? It's a Korban Pesach. It's a Korban, it's Legavoya, surely. And therefore, how has the Panim Yofes answered anything by using that Svara? So,
every sheep in Mitzrayim was regarded as avodah zarah, was regarded as holy.
Right, so the question is, what was actually, it had to be served.
Sheep was there, was
it was regarded as holy, but what has it actually be served to become osa? Has to actually be served to?
If it's got on its stuff, I don't know.
I understand what you're saying, but as far as I understand, it has to actually have a ma'aser done to it. It's not just enough that they view it as for these halachas. So the Chatam Sofer answered that there's nothing shvei. He says, upon Yom, this is very geshmak. He says, why? He says, if you look at the Pesukim, there's three different places where the Panim Yofes says this. Some of the Pesukim, where the Panim Yofes is speaking about it, are speaking about where Moshe is responding to Paro about the korbanos that they're going to shecht in the Midbar. And some of the psukim are talking about the Pesach that they're going to shecht, that they're shechting now in Mitzrayim. So he says, the ones that they're going to shecht in the Midbar are normal karbonos. There's going to be a Mizbeach or Boma or whatever it is. It's going to have all the normal halachas of karbonos done to it. That is a normal case of Gavoya Mamish, he calls it. So those karbonos, of course, the Panim Yofes was never using the halacha of Bittel for that. Whenever the Panim Yofes used the halacha of Bittel, he was not talking about the karbonos that were going to be bought in the Midbar, which were fully fledged karbonos with all the halachas of karbonos. Because then, definitely Bittel would not have helped, and then he definitely can only use the svara of, they were obviously never served if they were given to the Eden. However, when it comes to Pesach in Mitzrayim, he says, there you can use the svara of Bittel, because Pesach in Mitzrayim wasn't a normal karbon. What is the idea that something that's mos can't be bought l'gavaya, you can't bring something on a mizbeach, you can't be makdirit Hashem, you can't be makrivit, you can't be zorik the dam. He says there was no mizbeach in Mitzrayim. There's no mizbeach in Mitzrayim. Yeah, of course it was a korban. There's no doubt about that. We learn half of the halachas of korban pesach from there. We know it's a korban. However, the idea of mius l'gavaya, there wasn't, he says, because it wasn't brought as a regular korban on a mizbeach, it wasn't hukrav ve'emurim. He says, kimadumali, as far as I understand, he says, they actually ate the emurim. They ate the chalom, they ate all the parts of the korban. There was no din that they had to bring some of it on the mizbeach. And there was no din that they had to be zerik the dam on the mizbeach. And therefore, he says that in that case, bittel would help. Because bittel helps, we said before, bittel helps for a hedyot. We said it doesn't help for something that's being brought l'gavoya. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's only when it's being brought on the mizbeach l'gavoya. However, when it's just, of course it's a korban, but it's not being brought physically on a mizbeach and a murim, and nothing is being brought up to burn Lashem, there's no problem with Mias, and therefore even Bittel already will help. So just to recap, the Chasam Sofer says that in a place, we're talking about the Korbanos of Mitzrayim, those weren't a Korban Mamish, meaning it wasn't bought with all the Dine Korban, so there the Svara number one of the Panim Yofes does help. The Svara of Bittel. However, in the times where the Pasuk is speaking about the Korbanos that are going to be shechted in the Midbar, those Korbanos are fully fleshed Korbanos, and therefore, that's where the Panim Yofes is actually using his svara of obviously they were never served, and he shows you that this Panim Yofes didn't actually mention both svaras in all places, and he says that's why. Now, we mentioned before the Gemara in Pesachim, Shalosh Mizbechos. So let's just learn the Gemara in Pesachim for a minute. So Just, I forgot, there's a very interesting lashon. He says, he himself brings this Gemara, the Chasam Sofer brings this Gemara, the Chasam Sofer says, that which the Gemara says, there were three mizbechos two on the doorpost, one on the lintel, is a derech melitza. Now, what does that mean? He says the Gemara doesn't mean that, obviously that it's not mizbech. Mizbech has a certain surah to it, and he says it doesn't even mean that it was the mekayim, the halacha mizbech in that special way. The Gemara was just saying it was an inyan, it was a bechina of a mizbech, it was like a mizbech. It's not actually any kiyum of halachas on mizbech or zurikas dam on mizbech. That's what he wants to be mechadish. However, if we learn the Gemara, the Anias Daiti, it's quite hard to understand how the Chazan Sofer actually fit to the Gemara. Gemara says as follows, short piece of Gemara, and Pesachim Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. Boy Reb Zera asked the following Shaila, Emurei Pesach Mitzrayim, the Emurim, the parts of the Korban that usually go on the Mizbech, in Mitzrayim, Heicha Haktorinu, where did they do Haktoras Emurim? So Chayri is Mamish dealing with our Shaila. Omele Abaya, said Abaya to him, Uman Leimelon, who told us, who said, Deloish Shaviski Ovud. Now this word Shaviski, I think it's a machlokes we're showing him, but the mainstream way is that the Gemara is basically saying, who told you they didn't just roast it on the spit and eat it? Who told you they were makter it? That's what Abaya was saying back. V'oid, the Gemara says, and furthermore, Hotana Rav Yosef, I have a brisa from Rav Yosef, Sholish Mizbechos Hayosham, there were three Mizbechos, Ala Mashkoif, Val Shteya Mezuzos, on the two doorposts, and on the lintel. The Gemara ends off, and there was nothing else done to the Korban. So, Pashtus, if we look at Rashi, for example, Rashi says, "Hey, Chakterina, the original Shaila was, where was that Ktar done? Shaloi, who's Karaboy Mizbech?" The reason why he's asking the Shaila is because there is no Mizbech mentioned in the Pesukim about Pesach Mitzrayim. And that the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara says, they probably just ate it. They didn't actually bring it on Mizbech. But Oid, Gimel Mizbechoy, says Rashi, three mizbechos lehazoas adam. There were three mizbechos for the sprinkling of the blood. Avol haktoras imurin loy hoyosham mizbech. However, for the haktoras imurin, there wasn't a mizbech. So Rashi is explaining Pashtus in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, where was the haktorah? The Gemara is saying there was no haktorah. And the Gemara brings a raya from the Brisa of Rabbi Yosef that there was only a mizbech for hazor and not a mizbech for haktorah. But there couldn't be makter on the doorposts. Can't burn.
The doorposts.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a mizbeach. It's just called.
Right. Just and also, they were never told to do it. That's another reason. So, now, that's Rashi. So, b'chor, that's mefurush neged the chasam sofer, surely. Rashi's clearly learning the Gemara. The Gemara's whole idea is to say there was only a mizbeach for Hazor and not a mizbeach for Akhtor. Number two, Rabbeinu Chanan on the side, also says similar. The oyit haton Rabbi Yosef shalosh mizbechos hayushom. There was no mizbech like krova. However, mizbech lazor there was. And the Meiri, actually, I saw interestingly, and Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is brought down somewhere, I didn't manage to check it up, actually say that they were even makdei murim. They learn when the Gemara says man leimelon delo shiviski ovo, that they didn't roast it. Doesn't mean who told you they didn't roast it and eat it? He said they didn't even eat it. They roasted it because they were told to roast the Hakom Bezek and then they burnt it l'shem gavoya. They were actually makdei murim. So from all sides, from all the Rishonim, however you're going to learn, one thing is clear. There was definitely some level of halachas of korban applied to the Korban Bezek Mitzrayim. Minimally, the minimum that was applied was Zerikas Dam on a Mizbech. Obviously it's not the usual Mizbech we use, but it's a Mizbech that was used in Mitzrayim. And according to some, there was even some form of haktoras in murim. How can the Chasam Sofer say, and base his whole teretz, to explain the Panim Yofas, how can he say that the Gemara there doesn't actually mean Mizbech? The Chur from the Poshta learning of the Gemara is very clear it means Mizbech. Right, the Gemara is using that as a halacha of Mizbech. The Gemara doesn't just mean it as a moshe. Even the Zrika is already Yishvel in the Chasam Sofer. There was no dine korban applied to it. There was nothing being brought up l'gavoya. There was no mios. There is something mios because he was doing zrika and they were doing zrika. More than that, there's also a Rashi ala Torah in Parashas Boy and a Rashbam. Not Rashbam, Mashmoros and Rashbam. They all say there was a Kabbalah's dam taking place here. So it's clear there was some sort of avoidance of korbanos taking place. So I heard, again, this is not really written in any of the Brisgrov's forum, could be brought down by his children. Brisgrov also was busy with this shiloh of what exactly, which halachas of korban were applied to the korban Pesach Mitzrayim. And he brings a raya from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is also, wherever the Babli is, that's where the Yerushalmi is as well. Yushami is discussing whether there was a halacha of mum. Was there a psul of mum on the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? We know that Korbanos generally are possible with a mum, missing a limb for sure, and even other things like certain scratches in the eyes, whatever it is, are also a mum. Did those low-level mum, let's call them, not the missing limbs, low-level mum, did they apply to the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? So the Gemara brings a machlokus, the Yushami brings a machlokus, one man says they did apply, one man says they did apply. Sorry?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, it's a good question. It could be, okay, if missing limbs, I suppose they wouldn't have had to have 3 days. I hear? It's a good question. It's a question on Yushami. So, the Gemara goes through a few different points. We're not going to go through this now, but the Gemara in the end, the Yushami ends off that there wasn't really a Mizbeach. Yushami tries to say there wasn't really a Mizbeach in Mitzrayim, so therefore, why should a mum apply? And the Gemara ends off bringing this our brisa. Tony Kane, Shlosha Mizbechot Holo Abesidim Mitzrayim, Mashkoi for Shtei Mezuzos. The Gemara brings this memra as a raya that a mum should apply as well, because you see it was looked at as a normal korban. There was Mizbechot. There was the idea of Mizbeach being used in Mitzrayim. So then obviously, why should a mum not apply? It's a raya from the Manzo Omer and the Yerushalmi that mum applied to korban Pesach in Mitzrayim as well. Says the Brisker Rav. Again, Yushami's learning, taking on the simple reading of the words of Shalosh Mizbechos, there was a hakrava there, and therefore he uses that to answer the general shaila. Was it hukrav in Mitzrayim? He says definitely there was. Minimally, there was a zrika taking place over there. The whole Gemara is trying to say it has the halachas of korban, which would apply to, and therefore mum would apply from the fact that we have a brisa called Shalosh Mizbechos. Now, I heard B'Shem Rubleid Shlesinger Shlita. He bought Araya Faket, which we'll see, it's not Mamash Faket, but it's Araya to this from Tesefta. Tesefta also over here in Perichet and Pesachim is going through all the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach in Shadurus. It's a Mishnah in Pesachim, but Tesefta goes through all the things. Elu Devarim between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Durus. And Tesefta lists, out of the whole list, there's two things which are important to us. Two things that Tesefta lists as a difference. Pesach Mitzrayim loy hoyo ta'un domen v'chalovim l'gam mizbech. Pesach Mitzrayim did not need aktoras chalovim and zrikas domen on the mizbech. Masha'in came with Pesach Doros. However, Pesach Doros, of course you do. It's a normal carbon. Number one. Pesach Mitzrayim, number two now. Pesach Mitzrayim ne'mar boy says v'higatem el ha'mashkev v'ashtei mezuzos. Pesach Mitzrayim, it says you have to put it on the mashkev on the two mezuzos. Masha'in came with Pesach Doros. Said Rabbi Leizer Schlesinger, L'chur is a raya to one side. Why? Let's try and do this. It says, Bishloima, if you understand that there was no kiyum of Hilchas Hakrovas Korban in the Pesach Mitzrayim, so you understand the Tosefta has two separate points. Number one, the Tosefta is telling you what there was not by Pesach Mitzrayim, meaning there was not, it did not need any Zrika. And the second differentiation between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros, the Tosefta come and tell you, so what was there? Meaning, number one, Pesach Mitzrayim was different in the sense that it didn't need Zerika. Number two, Pesach Mitzrayim was different in the sense that it did need something new called the Yigata and Amashka v'Oshtei Mezuzos. So that's two separate differences. However, if you learn that the putting it on the Mashka and Oshtei Mezuzos was actually a kiyum of Zerika on a Mizbeach, says Reb Leizer, then that's not really 2 points. It's 1 point. Both Pesach Doros and Pesach Mitzrayim have a chiyuv to be zorik on the mizbech. There's no one mizbech, one not. They're both mizbech. The only difference is one's an interesting sort of mizbech and one's a normal mizbech. To say it as one difference, why are you saying it as two differences? Elamai, there was no chiyum of zrika and hilchas akrova on the Pesach Mitzrayim. That's what he wants to bring around. That's what they have to hold.
The whole town full of them put it on the door for the symbol.
Right, that's one of the ideas brought in Chazal. However, there's something much more to it that we're discussing, which is another Inyan, a more basic Inyan. So, really, we have Yushami on one side and Tosefta on the other side. However, if you look into it a bit more, the Tosefta, a few lines before, says very clearly that Mumim did not apply to Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. In the same halacha, the Tosefta a bit earlier on. So the Tosefta is clearly going like the Manda Omen Yushami, who says that the mumim did not apply to the Korban Pesach. Therefore, obviously, it makes sense based on what we said in the Yerushalmi. What did the Yerushalmi say? The Yerushalmi said that I could bring a raya that mumim do apply to the Korban Pesach from the fact that the Gemara in Pesachim says shalosh mizbechos. So if there was mizbechos there, there was a normal carbon. Therefore, obviously, the halachos of mumim apply. That was a raya to one man's omar. However, the other man's omar who said mumim don't apply, he has to do something with that Gemara of shalosh mizbechos. Obviously, he holds that the Gemara didn't literally mean kiyam dinam mizbech. And therefore, according to the man's omar, that mumim did not apply mitzrayim, he obviously learned there was no real mizbech over there. And if the Tosefta is going with that man's omar, it makes a lot of sense. The Tosefta in the Hemshech clearly learns that there was no kiyam of halacha mizbech. Those two things go together. If mum does not apply, then obviously there was no hilchas hakrov on the mizbech. If mum does apply, obviously there was. So really, the Tosefta and Yerushalmi are not arguing. The Yerushalmi is going as a raya to man's omar number one, and the Tosefta is going in man's omar number two. However, what we do see is the Tosefta is machriya, like the Manda Omar, that there was no kiyum of Hakrova Mitzrayim. So coming back to the Chasam Sofer, Chasam Sofer seemed to learn that it was just a derech melitza of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't actually mean there was a real kiyum of the Halacha Mizbech. We've got a Tosefta now who's learning like that. We've got a Tosefta who's being machriya that the whole Braisa of Yosef doesn't actually mean there was a kiyum Halacha Mizbech. The Braisa of Yosef just means there was an Inyan which was Deimul Mizbech. So the Chasam Sofer, Yesh La Milismach. The Rishonim we learn, with the Rishonim in Agamor who are learning that the Braisa of Shlosha Mizbechos means literally it was a Kiyum Halacha Mizbech. That's negative the Chasam Sofer. However, on the other side of the coin, we have a Tosefta that actually learns the Gemara differently. Just coming back very briefly to the two kashas upon him Yofus, meaning if we don't go with the Chasam Sofer, and we want to say that there is a kiyum halacha of mizbech in Mitzrayim. So therefore, it's a proper korban gavoya. If it's a proper korban gavoya, so the bittul that the Mitzrayim did by selling it to the Jews didn't help. So as far as that question goes, it's true, it's a good question, but we always have, at the end of the day, we're always going to have the other svara of the Palm Yoffers, that there was a svara that if they sold it to the Yidden, they obviously never served it. As far as that question goes, we're not going to be stuck even if we don't go with the Chasam Sofer.
Excellent. Learned a lot of new things this morning.
You say the Egyptians worship the sheep. They worship it.
Right, that was one.